It's Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. It's November the 11th, 2018. Today is the day where we remember all of those who fought in various wars for our freedom, for the opportunity that we have to open a Bible, for the opportunity that we have to go to church, and we will not forget their sacrifice. My son and I, for school, he was working on a poem for his class, and this is a poem that I helped him a little bit with. He called it, "If I Were in the War." If I was in the war, I'd really be afraid. I'd never know what's in store if I'd live another day. I'd hear the guns around like thunder in the night. Many falling to the ground, it would be an awful sight. I'd try to be so brave as my foes play their hand. I would fight and try to save our country, our native land. I didn't go to war, but many gave their life. They faced hardships and much horror, left a son, a daughter, or wife. I honor all the ones that bravely left their home, left their families for guns. It's for them I write this poem. And so we remember all of those who gave their life and all of those who so bravely fought in the many wars so that we can enjoy the freedom of our country, and we will not forget their bravery.
Struggle, not some endless search, just a story of some kids growing up in church.
We took in every moment with open eyes and ears, and one day took to heart what we saw in those years.
We saw real people struggles and real lives bruised in real ways,
and there was
real joy and real hope,
and through it all we
found real faith.
We count it as a blessing to know such strength and peace. Oh, not that they were perfect, but they lived in honesty.
And the evidence we witnessed daily in each life
helped pave the way for us to embrace the love of
joy and real hope, and through it all we found
real faith.
Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you again for joining us on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. It is Sunday morning, and we are just thrilled to be able to take the Word of God and to open the Bible and to see what God wants us to know. It's truly a privilege. 1 Timothy has been our study over the last several weeks, and we've been looking at how we are to behave ourselves in the house of God. It's kind of the theme for the book of 1 Timothy. It's written to Timothy, a young preacher. The Apostle Paul is the human penman. We know the Holy Spirit is the author. And we've been looking at the deacon. And last week we looked at that a deacon is first to be proved. Office or no office, a deacon should be chosen because that individual, that man is already fulfilling that role. And if you're not already fulfilling the role of a deacon, then you shouldn't be chosen to be a deacon. You know, the Bible says that to look out seven men of honest report. And so their testimony was known, their character was known. And when they went out and they looked for these seven men, they were proven. They were men that were proven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that they are to be found blameless. Nothing is to be alleged against their character. In verse number 11, chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, even so must their wives be grave. So they are to be grave. They're not to be slanderers. They're to be sober. They're to be faithful in all things. But also their wives are to follow that example. In verse 11, so the deacon's wife must be honorable or honest. She's not to be a slanderer. The thought there is to be a false accuser. And the thought of a false accuser is more than just someone who accuses falsely, but it really talks about their character. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible speaks of those who have turned from God. They are without natural affection. They are truce breakers, false accusers. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. The Greek word for accuser means devilish. In fact, 34 times it's used as the title of the devil himself. So we're talking about the character of the deacon's wife. Not that she is a false accuser, but that she would never false accuse. She's to be sober. The word there is temperate. It means circumspect. She's to be faithful in all things. She's to be faithful to her husband. She's to be faithful to her family. She's to be faithful to the church. She's to be ultimately faithful to the Savior. The Bible says in verse 12 of our text, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their house, their own house as well. So the thought there of one wife is the idea of a one-woman man. So in the context, a deacon is to only have one wife, and a deacon is not to be a womanizer. You know, in the society that you know, Paul is writing to Timothy, in this culture, in this society, polygamy was everywhere. And so the Bible says here that no, he's to have one wife and he's to be a one-woman man. He's to rule his children and their own house as well. To rule means to maintain. It means to stand before. They are to oversee their own house. The Bible says of the pastor, he's to take care of his own house, because if he can't take care of his own house, how is he going to take care of the house of God? But the Bible omits this from the deacon. It's because the deacon was never, the role of the deacon was never intended to rule within the church of God. A deacon is not an overseer. A deacon is a servant. And the Bible says in verse 13 that if they use the office of the deacon well, then they purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So if they use the office of the deacon well, or if they use the office of the deacon as God intended it to be used, you know, we think about the office of the deacon in many churches today. It's warped in how people perceive the deacon. But the Bible says that a deacon is a servant within the church. A deacon is to serve alongside the pastor. Oftentimes I hear people, the way that they talk about the deacon and the pastor, it's like it's deacon versus pastor. But this is not the way that God intended it to be done. No, a deacon is to serve inside the church, within the church, and to serve alongside of the pastor. They are laborers together with God. And they're to purchase themselves a good degree. So if they use the office of the deacon the way that God intended it to be used, then what happens? They find honor. They find respect within the church. They find boldness in the faith. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter, we know that boldness in the New Testament comes from the Spirit-filled life. And so the idea of a man that uses the office of the deacon well is a man that serves faithfully within that God-given office. And what is seen, what reputation, what testimony is given to that individual is that they are a man who is firm in the faith, they are founded in the faith, they are faithful to the faith. They have the boldness of the Spirit of God to preach the gospel as Stephen did, as he preached the gospel, was the first martyr of the New Testament church. But here is a testimony of Stephen, is that he was a man firm in his faith. So the Bible says in the scripture that first of all, God has an intended purpose, a role for the deacon. And if the deacon's role is used the way it's supposed to be used, then it's going to bring glory to God and it's going to bring honor and respect to that man as he serves in that role as a deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So Paul said, you know, it's first of all my intention to come and see you. I want to come and to see you and to help you and to exhort you and to comfort you. You know, oftentimes our intention never comes to pass. We want to do something. It's our desire to do something, but we never get that opportunity. The Apostle Paul, he's in prison. When he writes 2 Timothy, he knows his life is coming to an end. In 1 Timothy, he says, Paul says, Timothy, listen, I want to come and see you. It's my intention to come and to see you and to see you shortly. But if this doesn't happen, if God has another plan for my life and I don't have the opportunity, Timothy, to come see you, if I tarry long, then at least you know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. At least you know how you are to run or organize or oversee the local church. And he's talking about how women are to act in the church. He's talking about how pastors are to act in the church. He's talking about how deacons are to act in the church. So really, he's talking about church polity. He's talking about how the church is to be organized. And I believe that church is to be organized. People say to me, "Well, Pastor Burns, I don't believe in organized religion." What do you believe in? Disorganized religion? I mean, we serve an organized God. God is a God of organization. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "For this cause left thee in Crete. So Paul's saying, Titus, this is the reason why I left you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Titus was left in Crete to organize and to oversee the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, the Bible says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues." What is he talking about? He's saying, desire to be the one that edifies the church. Let me ask you this question. In your local assembly, in your local church, are you someone that's known to be an edifier of the church? Are you one that, you know, encourages other people? Are you an encourager? Are you do you sing? You know, do you minister? Are you one that edifies the church? So the Bible says desire to be one that edifies the church. But then in verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. So the word decently means honest. The word honor means arranged. So this is how we are to worship, and this is how we are to see edification in the church. We're to see it done decently and in order. Now, why is this the case? Why is God concerned with order within the local church? Why is God concerned with all things being done decently in order? Well, Paul gives the answer to this. He says, first of all, it's the house of God. Now, the temple is where God dwelt in Israel, and now God dwells in his people. He indwells us. If you are born again, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you are a child of God. And, you know, how does someone become born again? Well, it's not through a church. It's not through an organization. It's not through good works. It's not being, you know, a good person or a type of person. How someone becomes born again is the gift of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so when you realize you've sinned against God, when you realize you cannot save yourself, and you call out to God for his salvation, apart from the church, apart from good works, apart from all those things, the Bible says that salvation is by the grace of God. Then the Bible teaches us that we're born again, we're saved. This is what eternal life is all about. And so if you are born again, if you've prayed, if you've taken time in your life to ask Jesus to be your Savior, you've called upon the name of the Lord, then you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God indwells you. And the Bible says that the church is the house of God, and it's the church of the living God. It's a powerful statement to me. It's a reminder. It's a reminder to Timothy of the severity and the importance of the role which he held as the overseer, that this is the church of the living God. It's not a community center. It's the church of the living God. And so things are to be done decently in order. This is what the Bible teaches us. You know, I remember as a teenager, I remember one time I was talking to my mom, and I'd said something disrespectful. I'd said something I shouldn't have said. And you know, we are to honor our mother and our father, and it's important for us to honor our moms and our dads. And I was disrespectful in some way. And I remember my mom saying this to me. She said, you know, you're not just talking to some friends. You're talking to your mother here. And she was absolutely right. There had to be more respect for her role in my life than just talking with some buddies. And I think that within the context of the local church, we've kind of made the church, the local church, we've kind of just made it a gathering of people. But we need to understand this is the church of the living God. This is the house of God. It's not a social gathering. It's not a community center. This is the church of the living God. A living God has a living book. And we are to hold it high in respect and regard for this place. And so Paul says, no, listen, It's to be organized. It's to be done decently in order because it's the house of God. It's the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the word there, pillar, is it means the stay. It's the support. It's the support of the gospel. It's the stay of the gospel. Now, what is the truth that the Holy Spirit's talking about? You know, we talk about the pillar and the ground of truth. So what's the truth that the scripture is talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse number 16. I hope you have it in your Bible. It says, verse 16, and without controversy. So the Spirit of God is saying, this is certain, this is true, without controversy. This is truth here. The pillar and the ground of truth, without controversy, this is truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the mystery that we're talking about is hidden truth that is now revealed. The great is the mystery of godliness. So the mystery here is hidden truth that is now revealed. Godliness, the thought here speaks of the gospel, making us approved unto God. It's through our salvation, making us acceptable. God buying us back through the sacrifice of his son. So godliness is making us approved for God's work through our salvation, our sins washed away. This is our justification. And so great is the mystery, this truth that's now revealed in the gospel, that God was manifest, or God appeared in the flesh. Jesus Christ became God. And God, he robed himself in flesh, and he walked among the ones he created. He performed miracle. He walked on water. He calmed the sea with his voice. God was manifest, appeared in the flesh, and justified. He was vindicated in the spirit. Now, God was 100%. Jesus was 100% God. He was 100% man. And he was vindicated in the works and his message that he was God. He was seen of angels. They ministered to him as he walked on this earth. He preached unto the Gentiles. This truly was a part of that mystery of God that was revealed to the Jews. It was specifically revealed to Peter that the gospel was not only for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentile people. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, there are those who will say, well, yeah, but God so loved the world. God doesn't love the world anymore. God loved the world when he sent his son, but that's changed today. It's in the past tense. So God so loved the world. And oftentimes when the Bible speaks of God's love, it's in the past tense. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And oftentimes this, the word love, God's love for us, God's love for the church, is in the past tense. Because first of all, God is a God that's in eternity. And God inhabiteth eternity. And so it's not that, you know, God's love is in the past. God's love is seen through the eyes of an eternal God. But also, I think this, that God's love is the focus, the center of the focus of God's love is, it speaks of Calvary. And when we talk about God's love, for God so loved the world, I think it's talking about in eternity past, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ was ordained. He was chosen to be the Savior of the world, that he would go and he would die for the sins of the world. And this is what really defines the love of God, this agape love, that Jesus Christ, before he placed a star in the sky, before he created this world with his words, before he made man and said it is very good, Jesus Christ knew he would go to a cross. And this defines his love, that if you were the only person that was in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ would have died for you. He would have come to the cross and he would have given his life for you. This is incredible. This is mind-blowing. This is the love of God. God so loved.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.